what I'm about to say, because in most cases, this will be the cause of depression. You might not like what I say, and you're not gonna like what you're about to hear, but you need to hear it. Here it is. Are you ready? A lot of possible causes for depression, but here's the main one. Here it is.
Well, to find out what it is, you'll have to stay tuned. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Once again, we're going to take you to Pastor Wayne's farm in Oregon for a message he taped a while back. It's a topic many of our listeners can relate to. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, When You're Depressed.
We're all prone to depression in one time of our life or another. And even though we know that we're all prone to it, it doesn't make it any easier to deal with. Everyone's susceptible though, male or female, Christian or non-Christian. In fact, the Bible mentions several great men and women of God who struggled in this way. Moses, in his moment of despair, said to God in Numbers 11, he said, I alone am not able to carry all of this people, all of this responsibility. It's too burdensome for me. And then he said this, so if you're going to deal thus with me, then kill me at once. He was depressed. Whether it was Job or Elijah, or whether it was Jeremiah, King David, many others wrestled and cried out to God in their struggle with depression. In fact, King David wrote, save me, O God. I am worn out, he said, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Even well-known Christians of literature have struggled with this as well, from Mother Teresa to the great evangelist Jonathan Edwards. They all struggled with depression that stalked their lives. Now, one thing I want you to know is that I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not going to give you some medical diagnosis. A small percentage, though, of depression comes from a chemical imbalance or hormonal inconsistency. And if that's you, you'll need to consult a medical professional to best ascertain the resolution for that. But let me deal with the majority of depression cases. It really comes from other sources, and here's the good news, it is resolvable. And in the time that we're going to spend together, I want to help you to find your way out of the valley of depression. And you can, starting today. Over the past 10 years, I've personally have had to come to grips with this again and again. Depression's not some fleeting emotion that'll be gone in the morning. It's not fictitious. It's real, and it can and will affect you and your relationships deeply if you don't deal with it. The good news, though, is this. If you will intentionally apply yourself to overcoming depression, if you will, it's absolutely possible. First, let's take a look at some of the possible causes of depression. Depression doesn't happen overnight. Depression is rather like pouring melted butter down the drain of your kitchen sink and then chasing it with cold water. Eventually, the sink won't flow well, won't function well. Instead, it becomes clogged. And the same is true with depression. We get mentally and emotionally clogged up, thus making it difficult for us to see and think straight. On one hand, we might gain weight if our tendency is to eat when stressed, or we may even lose weight if we get so depressed that we deprive ourselves of food. And even in severe depression, can become a possibility. So you say, well, what are some of the causes of depression? Well, let me tell you some of them. One of the causes is usually something that caused a great loss, such as a physical loss or losing a spouse or a family member. You see, when there's a death, we usually go through a grieving process. However, if we don't grieve correctly, or if we refuse to let it go, our emotions can stay pent up on the inside and we'll become either hardened or we go into a retreat. Or sometimes we even take it out on ourselves. You see, mentally and emotionally, we start to shut down when we get depressed. And just like that clogged sink, And sometimes a great loss could be not only a loss of a loved one, but that great loss could be the loss of your dreams or expectations when they've been dashed or stolen. Let's take a look at another source of depression. Another possible source of depression is caused from prolonged fatigue. That's right. Tiredness can set you up for becoming prone to depression. Because you see, we're never more vulnerable to depression than when we're fatigued or overtired, especially over a long period of time. When we've been, say, for example, driven for a season, and even though our bodies are spent and our souls are depleted, we keep pushing onward for success, or our obsession towards some dream or goal, and it begins to take its toll. Even godly goals can destroy your soul if you violate the Sabbath rest, as the Bible talks about. And that's when the work of God around you that you're doing begins to destroy the work of God that He wants to do within you. And when that happens, the road to success and the road to an emotional or depressional breakdown becomes one and the same. What I'm about to say, because in most cases, this will be the cause of depression. You might not like what I say, and you're not going to like what you're about to hear, but you need to hear it. Here it is. Are you ready? A lot of possible causes for depression, but here's the main one. And here it is. That you have, along the way, somehow made yourself a victim of the things that you can't control. Victimhood, that's right. We start thinking too much of ourselves when we need to really stop thinking so much of ourselves. It's almost like counterintuitive. When you start looking out for number one, then number one's thinking starts to go downhill. It's like a person playing sports that's so afraid of getting hurt that the chances are that they will get hurt much more than otherwise. They'll be the first on the injured list. You see, when you're thinking that you're a victim, you begin surrendering to a losing battle. Your thinking goes bad. It's selfish, and that what you're feeding on is going to cause a greater amount of depression because you're thinking about you. It's you. I told you, you won't like what you hear, but that's why the Bible says we need to continually renew the spirit of our minds. You see, what happens is we think so much of ourselves, we become victims of everybody else. And it becomes selfish. And Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says this, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which is created in righteousness and holiness of truth." You see, it's really how you're thinking. Victimhood will cause your heart to retreat and you'll live overcautiously. We will have developed somewhere along the line a bad psychology. It's a bad thought pattern. That's why the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6, it says the lamp of your body is your eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if that light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? You see, it's how we see things that determines how we define life. And not only life, how we see ourselves. If you struggle with depression, there is good news, though. Jesus is about to give us the starting point. Here's what he said. "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's going to give us the direction that we need to go. He said, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden." The Bible has so much to say about how to cope, and not just cope, but overcome the despair that depression brings, because we're making ourselves to be victims. Knowing the possible causes is very important, almost as important as knowing the cure. But let me give you the starting point. Some years ago, I was invited by some friends to do some surfing at a place called Makaha, a place where people tell me is known for some pretty big waves and some gnarly waves, some pretty bad ones. And they weren't kidding. I mean, from the shore, it looked somewhat calm. But when I actually went into the surf, it was like playing in a tsunami. The very first wave I caught picked me up and just pummeled me, beat the stuffings out of me, and it pushed me under the water. It was like I was in a washing machine being agitated over and over again. And in a matter of time, I actually lost my board and my leash that was tied to the board. Glad I didn't lose my shorts, but I was being tossed under the water, being flipped upside down, and the waves were beating me and beating me and pounding me. I was rolling over and over in such a fashion that I actually, in confusion, lost all sense of direction. And I didn't know which way was up. That's right. I didn't know which way to swim because I didn't know if I was going sideways or down or up. And I literally began to cry out to God. And when I did, the bubbles of my mouth started to go to the right. I thought, why are the bubbles going this way? And then I realized bubbles usually travel upward. That was then that I realized that I had to start swimming this way because the bubbles were telling me the direction where the air could be found. Desperately, I quickly swam following my bubbles and reached for the surface, gasping for oxygen. And then I thought, I must remember this in the future. Just follow the bubbles. And this is so true in life as well. Because remember, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, when you're thrashed by storms and when confusion and depression set in, we just don't know which way to go, which way is up. Well, always remember this. The right direction is towards Jesus. He will always give us the strength and a fresh hope in life again. And that's when God can give you biblical directives to follow. The first principle in not just managing, but overcoming depression, this is very important. Here it is. You got to mobilize your mind for battle. You see, when depression hits, the first reaction will be to bail out. But don't you do it. Oh, you say, well, where do you start? You start by being, here it is, a fighter again. You see, that's the first stage of getting out of depression. You have to refuse to be a victim. You start by making a decision that whatever it takes, you're not going back to being a victim of things you couldn't control. I mean, if you have to move or change jobs, you have to do whatever it takes, but you must never go back to victimhood again. You've got to fit your mind for battle. Do you remember that old song, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho? Yep, so too, you got to fit your mind for battle. And this is what I did. When I was going through that and struggling, I actually drew a line on the carpet. And I said to myself, on the other side is a balanced life and getting back to what God's called me to do. On this side, I'm struggling with victimhood and depression. And so this is what I said. I'm going to step over that line and I'm never going back. And when I step over this line of commitment, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get out of it. And again, when I do, I can never return. I'll never go back ever, ever, ever again. And you know what I did? I actually physically stepped over that line and have never gone back. Now, does that mean you'll never struggle with depression again? No. But regardless, even though it comes and stalks you, you don't give in to it. You see, what happened was I actually stopped fighting and I started surrendering to circumstances, to the feelings of inadequacy, to the emotional doldrums and negativity of my surroundings. Remember, the Bible says this. The Bible says, submit to God. No, not to events or feelings. Submit to God. And then it says, the very next line, and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Did you get that? First, you submit to God, follow the bubbles towards God. And then the next thing is you fit your mind for battle or resist the devil. Then, and only then, will he flee from you. Remember this. The devil is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield, and your imagination is his trophy. Let me say that again. The devil is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield, and your imagination is his trophy. Fight for a clear conscience and a strong faith. You alone are in charge of your emotional stability. God will help you to overcome depression, but you got to take charge. It won't be easy, but oh, let me promise you, it'll be oh so worth it. Now, the second principle is so practical. And here it is. It's going to sound so practical, it'll sound unspiritual, but here it is. Get back to physical fitness. Yeah, when you're coming out of depression, you got to get back to your blood running again. You see, if there's one thing that'll affect you as much as your mind, it's your fitness. One thing that helped me tremendously was getting back to exercise, stewarding this temple that God has given. Even if it's just walking around the block every morning, you got to get out and get your blood going. Tune up your mind and tone up your body. It's pretty down-to-earth stuff, don't you think? But God will coach you. But remember, he won't push you aside and lift the weights for you. He'll help you to build that tinsel strength of your faith. You remember in Luke 22, we find Jesus talking with Simon Peter, and he says something really interesting. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." You'd think that Jesus would say, "Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, so I blocked him for you." No. He said, "Simon, I will pray for you that your faith not fail, so that you will build faith muscle. And I'll use whatever I need to just to help you with the weight, but I won't lift it all for you. Your faith cannot ever fail again." That was a pretty big thing for me to remember during that God wanted my faith strengthened so I won't walk back over the line. And then finally, get back to helping and serving others. Remember, depression comes because I think so much about, too much about myself. But get back to serving, volunteering, getting involved. What has God called you to do? Get back to your primary assignment. What is it? Maybe it's just to raise great kids if you're a parent. Maybe it's to be a great husband or to inspire people or to motivate others to believe God more. What is it that God has called you to do in helping others? I always say it this way. In the end, God will not hold you accountable for what you have done as much as he will hold you accountable for how much of what he's asked you to do, assigned to you, that you've done. In other words, he's saying, get off yourself and how you feel, what happened to you. Don't get caught up in the negativity of the things that have happened again. Remember, you stepped over the line. If you slip back, depression will steal your objectivity and you'll lose the big picture. You may have read or heard in the news some time ago about that 13-year-old girl, Bethany Hamilton in Kauai, who got her left arm bitten off by a tiger shark. She's an amazing girl, quite a trooper. When she was rehabilitating in the hospital, she told her friend, she said, "You know what? I'm glad this happened. Because now I can tell people how good God is." And this girl was in line to become a professional surfer. But despite losing an arm, a day later, Bethany was willing and ready to start all over again. She had fit her mind for battle. As we come to a close, I wish I could give you all the answers, but I can't. But I can tell you which direction the bubbles are going. And even when you see it, remember, you still have to fight for air. So fight like crazy. You'll not always be in the state of being a fighter, but you have to start there. The next stage is you'll begin to be creative again, and you'll learn to make lemonade out of lemons. Because remember, we can't always determine the cards that we're going to be dealt, but we can determine how we're going to play them. Your creativity will return, and your life purpose will return. So, challenge yourself to do what's right. Don't think like a victim. Change the way you think. Use your imagination for good. Don't paint your future with drab and dull colors. I want to encourage you to start to use neons and fluorescents. No more negative talking. You're done with that. Don't go across that line anymore. Instead, let God help you to build your faith muscles. See what's best. Imagine what God can do. Remember that worry is really the opposite. Worry is thinking about all the bad things and how things can go wrong and what's worst. Instead, mobilize yourself for battle. And when you do, you'll realize that this battle will have been worth every ounce of energy that you invested. So draw that line, step over it, and never, never return back. Do whatever it takes. It'll take work, but it will be worth it. And in the midst of your depression, cry out to God. Follow the bubbles to Him. And I promise you, God will be there to help you. At times, it might just be a little, but it will be enough to help you build the faith that you need to be once again all that God created you to be. And all your effort, I promise, will be worth it. You watch. You wait. You'll see.
You've just heard a message entitled, When You're Depressed, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Now, if the acoustics sounded a little different, it's because Pastor Wayne taped this message on his farm up in Oregon. If today's message struck a chord with you, perhaps you're going through depression, or you know someone else who is, Pastor Wayne has a booklet entitled, When You Want to Call It Quits. It covers today's topic, plus a lot more. You can purchase it online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Resources tab and go to our online store. In fact, you may want to purchase several copies to give to friends who are going through similar struggles. Again, that's enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. The booklet is called When You Want to Call It Quits.
God is the strength of my heart.
Listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with the click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365.
God is
Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.